episode 16 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker, joined as always with Nathan Kennedy here on a Saturday when it's like the quintessential prime time to watch cartoons. Although I would argue that, you know, people always want to say Saturday mornings, but you know what? We watch just as many cartoons during the like the school week as a kid too, just as much as it is Saturday mornings. And
yeah, I remember vividly Mario Brothers and well, honestly, mainly Mario Brothers during the week. It was usually Saved by the Bell and then watching that and having a handy snack. And what were some, you're talking about like weekday mornings, like
weekday
school?
Well, I mean both. I mean, because anytime people talk cartoons, they always say Saturday morning, when most of the ones that I love to this day still all came on early in the mornings during the school week or in the afternoon during the school week. And really, X-Men and when Power Rangers got started were the things that I woke up on Saturday, and Spider-Man. That's what got me on Saturday
morning.
Well,
see, Power Rangers is one that I remember watching during the week after school as well. But before
I remember it started on Saturday morning when it premiered. I do remember that. But, yeah, it did work its way to weekday mornings when I did watch it religiously back then. But
yeah, I remember G.I. Joe and things before school.
Yep. I mean, I was watching Bionic Six, G.I. Joe, the He-Man cartoon would come on at 8 o'clock before going to school. I mean, there was quite a few things that came. I remember watching Mr. Wizard ass early in the morning.
I always remember too, like if it was really early on Saturday morning and like you're watching Rocky and Bullwinkle, you were either just up early or you were sick.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I
think that's why I don't like that show, because I always associated it with like vomiting all night.
No, I enjoyed Rocky Bullwinkle as a kid. It was just one of those things. I just got to, if there was any perk, it was staying in bed and getting to watch cartoons undisturbed and not rush to eat your breakfast, get ready for school. And now you got 45 minutes before you got to get on the bus, or before you're taken to school. I didn't have to ride the bus till high school or middle school, but
man, you lucky bastard! I rode the bus from kindergarten through 11th grade.
Now my babysitter's husband took me and my brother to school till 5th grade, and then we walked to school after that. And the middle school is when we start riding the bus and have to worry about taking a crap while you're stuck on the bus and stuff like that. So.
Speaking of taking a crap, I thought because I messaged you before we started that I would have had to have taken a dump then,
but it was a false alarm.
Yeah, but it's kind of coming in waves.
It's a state of alert. You know, you're on alert right now. Like if the signals may go up, red alert. And Nathan just takes off holding his butt with his right hand.
I mean, you never know. Where will you be when diarrhea strikes?
That would be a great ad campaign. You know, instead of like those old people commercial, help, I'm falling, I can't get up. You know, help is on the way. Like, where will you be when diarrhea strikes? You know, that's like one of those ad campaigns for like, this is your brain on drugs kind of stuff. It's like awareness for diarrhea. You know, always make sure you know where you're at and that there's a proper clean receptacle to take a big shit if diarrhea should strike. You know?
Yeah, we'll see how the rest of this goes. I'm kind of like, take it away, Tyler.
Well, if anything, I got no problem with it, because we're talking about something that gets heavily overlooked and, like many others, gets shit on, you know, on YouTube and stuff like that. And if Nathan doesn't know what I'm talking about, all he's got to do is look up just the intro for this cartoon that I hold dear in my heart, the Rambo cartoon, and it's filled with comments of just people being dicks and just slamming the cartoon and, like, everything else. They all think it's cool and oh, I'm so smart and witty for shitting all over a cartoon that was made in the 80s. Like, you know,
speaking of shitting, I am not kidding. As we're doing this live, I'm like, you know what? I might have to go take a...
You go do that.
You keep rambling. This probably will not take long.
Oh, well, it better not, because I'm not prepared for this breaking news.
This is...
There's people a shit storm heading our way on Capes and Commentaries.
At least I'm not shitting the bed.
Just everyone stay indoors and find a safe spot to take care of this while the shit storm passes over.
The sirens, cranking the sirens. All right, I'll be right back. This is a first for us. Unfortunately, right, well, I wish we had a third guy. But yeah, you go ahead and keep talking about the hipsters and slamming them. Okay. I'll be back.
All right, make it quick. All right, so anyway... not to leave you guys too bored here, but yeah, this, just like many other cartoons, it's filled with people who want to take the time to call it lame or point out that it's a cartoon based on a Vietnam vet. And like, that's what made so many of the 80s cartoons cool, is that you got cartoons based on properties from rated R movies. Like, that's not crazy or dumb. No, that's kick ass. That's badass. And that makes us who we are today. And very proud to know that we grew up on cartoons that could be marketed from rated R movies, and to have toy lines that were marketed from rated R movies, much like the Rambo toy line, the Commando toy line from Diamond Toys. You got Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos, the RoboCop action figure line based on the cartoon, which was based on the movie. So a lot of hard R stars being products in their own toy line of cartoons. I think it's tremendous. Plus, for a lot of us, you know, like as a kid, I didn't get to watch the RoboCop movie till sixth grade. So the cartoon, the toy line, that's kind of, I think I saw snippets of it very, very briefly as a kid, because I do remember seeing Clarence Boddicker at some point. But, you know, it filled a void for something that, you know, if you weren't allowed to watch it, this was your way to watch it, because we were all influenced by, you know, the muscles and guns of the 80s. So I thought it was a great thing. So it seems like the majority are constantly finding ways to slam Rambo and many other cartoons. And I don't like it. I can't stand it, which is why I don't look at it a whole lot. But sometimes I get curious and want to know what people are thinking about a lot of these forgotten cartoons that may slightly be remembered. Some people may remember quite fondly. And I hope I'm not the only one out there who enjoys this cartoon. My memories of it were watching it as a kid and vividly remembering the intro, because I was quite fixated on the villains. As you can see, if you're watching the YouTube video, I'm wearing Sergeant Havoc's tank top here. I got it at redbubble.com. So if you want your own Sergeant Havoc tank top, or the Force of Freedom logo on a tank top or a shirt of some kind, go to Redbubble and type in Rambo cartoon, and you'll find both logos pop up. I was quite fascinated by the villains and Rambo himself too. Like it was a cartoon and toy line that I never had any of the figures of as a kid, but I knew of them. I saw them and desperately wanted any of them. It was a toy line, much like many of them, where I thought every character was gold. I wanted Rambo so bad. I wanted Turbo. Gripper and Sergeant Havoc were big favorites of mine as a kid, and Mad Dog as well. But I didn't gravitate towards Mad Dog as much as I did with Sergeant Havoc and Gripper, because Gripper with a claw on her right hand and an eye patch, to me that was as evil as it got, and evil in a very cool way. And Sergeant Havoc looked like such a badass in the tank top, muscles, the big deep voice by Peter Cullen. And I like General Warhawk as well, but it was a very, very great cartoon. I think it's heavily underappreciated. We'll discuss that when Nathan gets back here. But I hope others share this appreciation for it, if not for the cartoon, for the toy line, but hopefully both. Because the cartoon, if you like G.I. Joe and you never watched the Rambo cartoon, and you're going by the... Oh, there's Nathan. Hey, you know what? I think I don't need you anymore. I'm doing pretty good on myself here.
All right. Well, see.
I'm just building on my ego and talking about... I'm reflecting my thoughts over my head here. And, you know, it's been great. But just... I kind of gave an idea of the state of the consensus towards the Rambo cartoon and my introduction to it and my thoughts on it as a kid. So I'd like to get your thoughts on it before we jump in here.
I remember bits and pieces of it from my childhood, but I don't remember watching it a lot. I do remember the one year that my friend dressed up as Rambo for Halloween and I don't know if that stemmed from the cartoon or if it was more from the movies. I'm kind of curious, like, the kids that discovered this and watched it when it was on, like, did they watch the movies before they watched the cartoon, or did it inspire them to check out the movies with their parents let them, blah blah blah. Watching the episode that we are going to talk about and do commentary for today, Look, you know, it is a cartoon that it could be easy to nitpick on, you know, like, yeah, the dialogue and some stuff, it's kind of corny, but I like it a lot. And like, I enjoy that we're not using lasers like you've seen in G.I. Joe and things of the like it's bullets and it's missiles.
Yeah.
And it's seems like the stakes are a little bit higher, but no, I would like to check out more because obviously, you know, this is the first episode, and with most first episodes of any animated show, I feel like the animation does get better as it goes on. So I would be curious to see how the show evolves. I would like to, the only problem, my main problem with these is we're watching the first episode and this is volume 3 of the DVD. So all of these episodes are out of order, correct?
Yeah.
Like all of them.
I mean, all of them. Yeah,
I hate that.
Like, yeah, because I think that's volume 3 you've got. I think volume 1 has got part 3 of the, I guess, what was released on VHS as the movie. It's called Drambo the Rescue, and it was the first 3 episodes tied together as one film and then broken up. And if you get the first 3 volumes, you know, all the parts are on. I know part 3 is on the first disc, part 1 is on the third disc. They're all over the place. They're not in chronological order. So if you just kind of want to binge watch and kind of go all over the place,
you can.
You can, yeah, because you don't have much choice.
Thanks,
Lionsgate. Unless you just really want to, yeah, I mean, because you can go on Google and, you know, get a list of the proper episode numbers and just watch it chronologically if you want. But, you know, I really enjoy the fact that, you know, having Jerry Goldsmith's score for the first film, I mean, the second film, excuse me, is used promptly throughout every episode. And it intensifies a situation that, to the average casual 80s cartoon fan, you know, it may be underwhelmed. But when you've got an actual film score playing throughout every episode, it makes every sequence, whether it's just Rambo and Turbo meeting up and talking to Troutman, or General Warhawk comes crashing through it, you've got music that intensifies that situation. And the use of actual bullets, and you see bullets.
Yeah.
You know, the machine guns, it's actual machine gun sounds that are used from Rambo First Blood Part 2. It's definitely, it has to be toned out because it is meant for kids. But I think in that regard, there's so many homages to First Blood Part 2. The villains are some of the most badass you can imagine, at least in my opinion. They've always been, I've always thought that, and I'll get Nathan's thoughts as we're getting into it. But I just think it's underappreciated. I get why people may say it's a little bit corny.
Yeah.
But I don't think that when I watch it, I don't see it as like overly corny or real corny at all. There may be a couple lines here and there that are like, but, you know, it's not unforgivable, and it's not that it's not passable. I mean, everything. I think the villains are always portrayed very seriously. And Rambo, you know, he's got some, but you have to remember too, the star of the cartoon has to talk. Rambo doesn't talk much in the movies, which is why you feel like you got to give him more to say in a children's cartoon. So
I kind of like too that they went the direction of let's not make him try to sound entirely like Stallone, sort of have him set apart. But I also picked up on in this episode, like he's not very violent. He's mostly just like pushy and shovey. I wonder if, because as we're sitting here talking to the associate producer of Power of Grayskull, the definitive history of He-Man and the Master of the Universe, Tyler Baker, do you think this was also a thing that had to stick in their minds of like, well, all right, we're doing this and the villains can be violent and shooting the guns, but we can't have Rambo actually hurting or killing people?
It goes back to the first film. They make Rambo sympathetic because he doesn't kill any of the police officers. He puts them out of action, but doesn't kill a single one. And then he goes to Rambo 2, and he's killing Russians and Viet Congs all over the place. But it makes because based on the book, Rambo kills all the police officers he deals with. So they felt they changed it in the first film, which is why in the cartoon he gets away with it, because he's got to be somewhat sympathetic. And when parents watch this, they can't see Rambo kniving people. But there's homages in this episode that are very reminiscent of the maiming sequences, you know, especially in the second film, and which I just think that's cool. At least they're doing that, because I think as kids of the 80s, I mean, I watched the Rambo films and the cartoon around the same time, So and I had like one of the toy guns from the toy line too. So it was all kind of together. And it was just, I saw it all was great. I didn't see it as, oh, this is different, you know, or anything like that. I just see this is Rambo and I love the villains. And, I think that they have to play it safe, but considering they're using real gun sound effects and real bullets in a, in an 80s cartoon towards kids, I think they're still pushing those boundaries a bit, you know, and all the shots of Rambo's muscles, which are reminiscent of the movie and the trailer for Rambo First Blood Part 2. Like the opening sequence for this cartoon is taken right out of the trailer for First Blood Part 2 with Rambo tying his shoes up, putting the knife in. Like that's right out of the trailer. So I'm like, God, this is a very macho, manly cartoon for kids, you know. But also, you know, Rambo says, you know, make sure you listen to your teacher and stuff like that too, because every cartoon had to be pushed or shoehorned lessons, and don't take it too far. But considering all the other 80s cartoons that were using war and action and stuff like that, Rambo is one of the few that actually used bullets. You know, to see bandoliers of bullets loaded up into the 6x6 Defender and stuff like that, like, this is badass, man. See, you know, snakes and things like that too. And I mean, I think the opening sequence is just like, I mean, like the first scene that when we get into it, it's much like a Rambo film. Like it feels like you're watching something that you could see take place in an actual Rambo sequel or something like that. So, but we'll get into it here. We've talked enough here, and as we'll talk more as the commentary begins.
I mean, you've done a lot of talking. I had a bit of a break to, you know, do my thing.
I guess we live. Start calling you start. Got shit break on the podcast now. This is Tyler Baker and shit break.
Man.
Even though those American Pie films do not hold up whatsoever, man.
You know, that I feel like that first one still holds up.
Maybe just to see Shannon Elizabeth masturbate and stuff like that. But other than that, man, I don't like any of the actors in those films. Like, it's just like, it's a very dated product of its time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I mean, you could say the same thing for some of the ones from the 80s as well.
No, 80s are better. 80s
are
better.
Hello to Who Dat Will, by the way.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, he said the toys were also badass.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, it's, and Nathan had told me recently, he picked up his first Rambo figure from his parents, I think, what, a couple of years ago at a yard sale. I'm hoping when Nathan, if Nathan continues to watch more of this, he'll be more inclined to get Mad Dog and Gripper and Havoc and Turbo and Cat and Rambo and Troutman and
probably not from eBay. I don't think I can do eBay prices.
Actually, there's quite a few reasonable Rambo figures on eBay.
Oh, really? I figured they would just be like, that's old. No, $300.
No. There's only three figures that go for high prices. They were later on in the series, and they're the second wave of figures, and that's T.D. Jackson, Chief, and Snakebite, like that, five figures. Snakebite, there's a villain that looks a lot like Jason. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. There's Dr. Hyde. Damn it, I can't believe these.
Yeah, I was about to sit here and be like, here he goes, riffing off all the names. The Steel Trap, yeah. as we know him, and then he failed everybody.
Well, X-Ray, that's his name, X-Ray. Yeah, but he looks a lot like Jason, and all five of those figures go for top dollar, even loose with no weapons. But the rest of the figures are pretty reasonable with a couple of weapons. If you want them complete, you're gonna, you know, if you want all of those bandolier bullets and his guns and his bazooka, you're looking about $25-$30 because they come with so many weapons. But if you just want the figure with a knife or a gun, $8, $10.
Well, yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't need to have all the weapons because I've got a decent amount of them, and I still need to get Turbo and Cat, and I've got a Warhawk boxed up, so I got to try and find him somewhere. But, you know, they're all pretty reasonable. It just depends on how complete you want to get. But I think they look great, man. Some of the best-looking 80s action figures and heavily overlooked and heavily underappreciated. So hopefully our discussion of Rambo will get you excited and pumped and make you want to purchase the cartoons or watch them on Daily Motion. And go on eBay and just buy all you can.
Yeah, as of the live recording, I did forget to put the link down below for the episode on Daily Motion, but I will do that after the fact. So those of us joining us once it's archived, watch along with us.
All right.
Or buy these DVDs down where the episodes are all out of order.
Yeah, But they are all on Amazon. I think one of them is out of stock at the moment.
Yeah. Volume one is temporarily out of stock, and the rest of the volume, they're really cheap. Really, really cheap.
Yeah.
You can get each volume about $6-7. So, yeah. All right. Let's get this shindig started before I have to go like shit again somehow.
Shit dig. Let's get the shit dig. Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1. Action. Yeah. God, this got me so pumped as a kid. Because, to have this kind of music opening your show with, man, just badass. And the fire logo here, just like Rambo First Blood Part 2. And this right here, I love this with the dog barking and then all three and General Warhawk jumping out. I used to get so pumped about that as a kid because they look so awesome. That's Alan Oppenheimer, the worst Skeletor. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, the guy that said it was too much stuff to write on
Skeletor himself told me he wouldn't write down the autograph that I paid him for. That was the voice of Troutman. And also, when I was rewatching this just for fun last night, I kept thinking, like, the last few times, this is such a great opening sequence. I just have to say that. But General Warhawk is also voiced by Michael Ancera, also known as Mr. Freeze from Batman the Animated Series. Because I kept thinking, why does his voice sound so familiar? And I just kept playing it. But like, wait, that's Mr. Freeze. And I did verify it because I kept thinking, like, that sounds a lot like Mr. Freeze voice from the animated series. And sure enough, it is. And this is just a great tone setter here. You got this quiet village and dog sleeping on the fountain. And
all of a sudden, big ass tank just blows through the wall. And the dog gets ran over. I'm kidding. He doesn't.
No. And here's Mr. Badass himself, voiced by Peter Cullen. Grumble. Talks so cool in this show. And using, like, just generic guerrilla troopers, you know. I thought that was cool, too. It's like watching a Rambo or a Chuck Norris film. You know, they're all wearing green. They're not, it's not like in, there's Gripper. Oh, I wanted him so bad as a kid because of the eye patch and the claw. That's what it's all about here, people. You can't get more evil than that, can you?
I do like the line of dialogue that comes up later on. He's like, I don't want another one of these.
Yeah, I thought that was good, too. Yeah. But I'm sure he appreciates it to a certain extent because it
God, it's so weird seeing you two side by side. It's like you look like him, man.
What? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, anytime he pops up on the screen, you're decked out in his garb.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The big muscles.
Yeah, that's what made it so impressionable to me as a kid. It was the guys with the muscles, man. I just thought were so cool as a kid. So. Havoc was really, really cool to me as a kid. And seeing this tank top, like, oh my God, I have to have this. All I just need is some camo pants, and I can just walk around saying nice knife and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, shit, man, your Halloween costume is already done.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Very few people would know what the hell I'm dressed up as. I'm Sergeant Havoc. Who? Oh, that's from that lame Rambo cartoon from that them their 80s.
That them there.
Yeah, because that's how all morons sound to me.
Nintendo tapes.
Yeah. This is it's a fun introduction for Cat here too. And I'd always thought in doing finding promo pictures for the podcast, I'd come across somebody else. I don't know how many people thought this, but I'd always thought, too, that a lot of the characters in this show were reminiscent of Part 2. Like, Kat, I always thought was Cobal, you know, because she's an Asian woman who works for the Special Forces. She's great at disguise, like Cobal does in First Blood Part 2. And Warhawk and Havoc are much like Lucian and Colonel Potofsky in First Blood Part 2. And I saw others were making those comparisons as well. Because they look a lot like Lucian looks just like Sergeant Havoc. All he's missing is the skull with the lightning bolt on his tank top. You know, a big, intimidating muscle head. And Kat is definitely Cobal. It's clear. I mean, that First Blood Part 2 definitely influenced this cartoon a whole lot. And they do play up a lot in a lot of these episodes too, because I know Nathan hasn't watched many of them. I mean, Rambo is always out in the wilderness at a cabin by himself, either chopping wood. There's one where he's just lifting dumbbells into the Rambo music. I'm like, God, man, this would be me if I was ever called to do it. I'm just out in the woods lifting weights or something like that. Like, it was just cool to depict Rambo just doing these solitary macho things all the time, because by God, you know, why can't kids hear us today just be macho too? No, they got to just be a bunch of pussies, you know, with bright colors on them, and they don't take anything seriously, and they got the attention span of a circus monkey, you know. it's a good like introduction episode to get all the major players for the show in one episode, because Mad Dog doesn't show up to the third episode. Nomad doesn't show up to a little after that. But this episode does a good job of introducing Rambo's two main buddies and Colonel Troutman, and then the Savage Forces and their heavy hitters as well. It's a good introduction for Turbo here.
See, to me, I always, like, watching this, I was just like, this seems really random. Like, really random. It's like we're racing, they're wrecked, he's wrecked, you know, and then he's gonna pull some quick moves here.
It's like Arnold and Twins. Yeah. You know, just pops the two-wheel there and pulls over for a pit stop.
And there's Rambo.
But, yeah.
You know, but it's just like...
Oh, so what do you say about this that makes it? Because, I mean, Turbo is like the vehicle weapon expert, so to speak. So that's why I feel like that he's a race car driver in his spare time. I'm like, to me, that makes sense. Like,
I'm thinking it's just random. He's racing. It's like Rambo shows up mid-race and it's like, all right, let's go. I don't know. It just seemed kind of...
That's not random. It's like, we're needed. It's like, hell with the race, man. Let's go kick some ass. I could see that being right in the movie, dude. I need to get me a sleeveless white hoodie with the Force of Freedom logo on it, too. Be great. Yeah, and to have these characters introduced like this, I mean, it's like watching a Missing action film or another, you know, former Vietnam vet solo action movie or buddy movie. I mean, it's got 80s action movie written all over this cartoon. That's what makes it so great. I mean, I would love to know, you know, from the guys who worked on the show, just when they're writing these episodes, how are they influenced any by, like, the Missing in Action films? Is it all Rambo? Because you almost feel like they drew, like, inspiration from a lot of stuff.
And probably a lot of real-world getting tongue-tied over here. Real-world events. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you've got invading forces coming into, you know, foreign territories and claiming dictatorship. It's kind of like what the plot was in Commando, trying to stop, Bennett's group. The character that Dan Adea plays with trying to invade. Damn, I keep drawing all these blanks. God, I know Commando left and right too, and it's only when it comes down to it, I just draw blanks. But anyway, all these plots with these invading forces trying to come in and form a dictatorship and take over and stuff like that too. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff like that, and it's definitely like the story itself. It's not like super kid friendly. Like, this is not like a light and fluffy action story. Not that there were many in the 80s at all, but I mean, we're dealing with dictators and invading forces. I mean, Cobra does it all the time, but this kind of comes off as a little bit more real world, as opposed to, you know, the stuff going on in G.I. Joe. But G.I. Joe was a lot of real world stuff as well too. So I just felt like if you like G.I. Joe, there should be no reason why Rambo wouldn't be in. And Rambo's even wearing Cobalt's necklace too. You know, just all the attention to the details, which I'd always like to think that the events of the first two films did take place before this cartoon. Like, after First Blood Part 2, when he asked John, like, what are you going to do? I'll live day by day. And then they end up forming the Forces of Freedom, and here we are.
That makes sense. This would kind of take place in between Parts 2 and 3.
Yeah, yeah. I like to think that that's kind of what happened. And at some point, after Forces of Freedom is over, he becomes fixated on a quiet life and lives in a monastery and does stick fighting on the side. because he says, I put in my time. Even though my war's over. He's like, hey, man, I've fought in the Force of Freedom for quite a while, man. Just a lot of good little tidbits of tension and action going on here. Like setting all these devices. And I mean, just this is just like a Rambo Chuck Norris film. All the guns have got bayonets on them.
Rambo.
Yeah, I love Griffith's German accent. I mean, it's... And throughout the show, too, like, the characters make contact. Like, you know, you see... I mean, that's cool to see Rambo actually punching Gripper twice. And you'd see it multiple times throughout the rest of the show. Like, they
there
don't...
There we go.
Yeah!
Actual bullets.
So cool. And yeah, you said earlier, too, like, the villains can get away with being as malicious as possible. Hang on, Mike. Getting a phone call here. Just... I even silenced the phone, too. I apologize. It's my dad calling. I told him what I was doing around this time, and he just forgets.
Hey, I mean, you know, phone calls, taking dumps. Why not?
Yeah. But I love this music is just so perfectly placed throughout the show. And it's having this interrogation sequence here and torture. I mean, it's just like part two. I mean, all this is like when Rambo's captured and sent to the Vietnamese camp, and you got Potofsky and Lucian doing the torture and interrogation here. Yeah, I thought Warhawk was such an imposing villain too as a kid. And he's a very well done villain. Like, this is cool. Over a snake pit. Like, making him hold himself up. If he drops down lower, he's in the range of snake bite. Nice knife, Rambo. Man, he's so cool. You got to get your Sergeant Habit figure. Do it today, man. I just love, I mean, some of the stuff that Rambo does to get out of stuff, yeah you could say, it's a bit hokey, but you just got to remember, too, you know, they can't do everything they do in the film, so they have to take liberties when they have to.
See, I was but for it, sure that these two guys were going to end up in that snake pit.
Snake pit.
Yeah. Like when he throws them right here, I thought they were going to land in the pit.
Which, and there's a few times when you watch the show, you know, you think, oh, wow, someone, if you thought about it, probably could have died there. But they make a point to show you that the guy that Rambo ambushed or something, okay, he survived because, you know, you're still trying to make sure you don't piss off all the hell conservative, you know, bitching parents of the 80s.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, you know, sooner or later, kids are going to learn about death.
Yeah. Like, and, I mean, look, and plus, too, in the 80s, I mean, how could people be so oblivious? All this is so because it's just like part two with the maiming sequence in the jungle. But, I mean, we all grew up watching action from the 80s. I mean, maybe not everybody did, but I think the vast majority of us saw a Chuck Norris film, an Arnold film, a Stallone film, a Van Damme film at some point in our young childhood in the 80s. So good parenting just says you don't repeat everything you see in the film. But I had a Rambo toy gun. I used to go outside and pretend I was Rambo, and I had one of my neighbors pretend that she was Cat. But I knew I wasn't trying to hurt
her. How did you convince her to do that?
She said, okay.
That's it. Was she older or younger?
She was a year younger than me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, all the famous sequence. But can't get too crazy with it. Can't impale him from behind there. But yeah, Sarah, me and Sarah used to play Rambo and Cat a whole lot when we were kids. And I had a Rambo toy gun that fired darts, and you switch the safety switch, and it would make a machine gun noise. So it was like a dart gun / machine gun. God, I played with that gun so much. My dad picked it for me at Rose's in the 80s. I had so much fun running around pretending I was Rambo.
I never ran around pretending I was Rambo as a kid.
Oh, man. You missed out, dude. You missed out on the machismo of being Rambo. I mean, because this was on, this is like 86, 87. You know, so I was watching this probably in 87 when I was 3. and then got the gun when I was probably closer to four. And you would still watch the cartoon. I remember I had like Rambo, like bedroom slippers. And I never had any of the toys though as a kid. I remember seeing the toys, wanted them desperately, and saw the pictures of them and stuff. But like so many great toy lines, you couldn't have everything you wanted as a kid, unlike Nathan.
Nice dig. Nice dig. Yeah, I didn't have any.
And I'm sure Joe probably had it too. He was like, I don't even like Rambo. But I'm sure Joe probably had tons of Rambo stuff. And if he didn't, I'm sure there's something else he had that I wanted that I couldn't have or something like that. That was always the case. But I just look at it this way. If I'd gotten all this stuff, I may not have been as hungry to seek it out and be so hungry about He-Man, Rambo, Thundercats, G.I. Joe. You know, this, if you had everything, it probably wouldn't make me the fan that I am today, where I just spent so much time seeking out this stuff in video stores and flea markets and just looking for it all the time on the internet. Oh, come on, Nathan. I'm talking too much here. Give me some feedback here as we're watching this here. Are you intrigued, or are you like, yeah, you know what, I'd rather be watching a modern cartoon?
No, it's a lot of, I like the part here where, all right, he's got the motorcycle, now he's on his way, and I'm just like, at this point in the show, I'm just like, I want to watch more of this. I want to see what else is going to happen on this show.
It makes me think of the first film when he goes to the barricaded cops on the bridge, and the same music plays, like him breaking through and gets across the bridge. Bravo! So cool. I see this being like a vehicle that, and obviously this wasn't a vehicle that was released in the toy line, but the bridge maker that I know there's the technical term for that, but I think G.I. Joe released one of those too, I think. I'm more familiar with the characters in G.I. Joe than a lot of the vehicles, because I was more fascinated with the characters than the vehicles themselves, even though there's some kick-ass vehicles, but names I know better than the vehicles. But I could see that being a vehicle released in the toy line. All right, have you looked up a lot of the toy line at all, Nathan? Like, aside from like character, I mean,
no, not
the basics.
Just the basics. You know, I saw the figures that you had, and just sort of went and looked up like lots on eBay, where it's just mm-hmm. like they're selling in bulk. I mean, were there a lot of things produced, like vehicle-wise, playset-wise?
Was one playset that was released, and it looks like it's heavily used in the episode Swamp Monster. It's called the Savage Headquarters, and it's a large like bamboo tower with a trap door in it that leads down to a cage, a bunker, crates of guns. I mean, it looks like something out of the camp that Rambo goes into in First Blood Part 2, or something out of any of the Missing in Action Part 2 or something like that. It's a very simplistic but very effective war camp headquarters for Savage. And when you watch the episode Swamp Fight, I mean, you clearly see they're using the playset. So you've got that. There was a lot of accessory guns, like just they came individually, like mortars or cannons and stuff like that. Yeah. Like heavy artillery weapons that you could buy individually. There was a decent amount of vehicles for Rambo. Savage had a couple of vehicles, like a Mad Dog had his like three-wheel motorcycle. I forgot what it's called, like assault cycle, which looks really, really cool. And anytime Mad Dog and his gang show up, they're always riding on these motorcycles. They're really cool looking. So you got that. And that was pretty much it for the most part. I mean, it's for a line that only ran for a short time, there's quite a bit. You got a decent amount of figures, a good selection of vehicles, one big play set that, man, if you just look up like the picture of the box art, just it blows your mind, and you actually see it itself. Oh, boy, it's a beautiful looking play set. And pretty reasonable on eBay. If you want it complete, I mean, you're going to have to pay like $150, $175 for it, but God, it's such a nice looking play set. And you could really make a great display piece out of it. Because it's got, like I said, bunkers and everything for just that, the Savage Force to hide behind. You can have Cat and the below the trapped in the little prison area. Warhawk on top on the watchtower. I mean, God, there's just so many cool things in there. And crates of guns. Guns, man. It's just, God, it's just the fun to be had as a kid, reenacting Rambo and Turbo and White Dragon sneaking in this camp to stop this contraband exchange or something like that. I mean, it just got to be so much fun to be had with these toys. Very, very macho, very, very military-like. You know, and I feel like the line was just getting better and better as the expanded Rambo's forces and expanded Savage forces. It's just a shame that the toy line didn't last any longer, but not everybody could be a powerhouse in the 80s. I mean, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats, even the Thundercats didn't last that long either, but the three big heavy hitters went on so long, and everybody else was fighting for attention from Rambo and Bionic Six and Brave Star and the Visionaries and Supernaturals. I mean, just so many toy lines fighting for the attention of kids. So I feel like any of them that lasted over one wave was pretty good considering. Because Silverhawks. But this it's a decent in. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna kind of recap what's going on here. Rambo wrecked some shit, stole one of their tanks, and then blew up that bridge again.
However, Savage has not been officially stopped, and Rambo knows that, and it will be continued in the 3-part movie / miniseries pilot, whatever you want to call it. And then the show kicks off after that, because all three episodes are concerned with Tierra Libre, because the prime minister or whatever his position is, he ends up going to the United Nations in the 3rd episode and gets abducted by Savage, and that's when Mad Dog and his group show up. Ruby Spears, that's a classic logo I remember seeing a lot as a kid. But that is episode 1 of the Rambo animated series. So I'm glad to hear Nathan didn't feel like, man, this was a chore to watch or something. Because I like to think that if we do come across another show that you're not as familiar with or haven't watched at all, you give me the fair, honest opinion. And if I don't like it, I don't like it. I can't expect you to like everything that we do.
Get off the show. We're bringing someone else in. Yeah. I have been informed, brand new, that playset that you're talking about, $425 complete in box on eBay.
Yeah, that's that's within reason, I guess, because it's a big playset. It's a lot of stuff with it. Have you seen it loose or seen pictures of it? Or
no, I'll look it up when we're done with the show, and I'm debating on what I'm gonna do work wise today.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say I'm debating whether to just buy it right now and just store it away, just laugh.
No,
just continues to pile up.
I would just buy it and just like probably. I can't. Oh yeah, set it like right there. Be like, yeah. Emily, clear space on your desk. I gotta put this playset up that way Tyler can see it constantly when we're doing the show and get mad at me, like he did for the Soundwave. I texted him a picture. It was a birthday present from my parents, a commemorative Soundwave. I want to. At one point, these were Toys R Us exclusives, but I had since other
not websites. Anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. So they got me that, and that came in the mail, and I sent him a picture of it. And I get the reply the next morning, I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have said, Nathan, you shouldn't have. Thank you so much. That's what I should have said. Because then he would have been guilty and like, no, man, it's me. No, clearly, you wouldn't just show me something like that if you didn't intend on giving it to me. You know, but I didn't think to do that. I just told him how envious I was and that I hated him. And I said, we're done. This podcast is over.
Podcast is done.
Yeah, but hopefully that means, oh, here's a peace offering so I can stay on the podcast. Have my Soundwave. Where did you put Soundwave?
He's actually right here beside me.
Let's see.
Let's see if we can get that.
It's too dark.
Yeah, it is too dark. Maybe we can kind of, you still can't really.
Yep, I see Bruce Lee. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, right, he's there. Definitely.
I mean, it's dark, but.
Yeah. So cool, man. I am envious. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get me. As much as I like Transformers, I don't have one prominent Transformer. I remember I bought a few like around when the movie came out, and they had released like some more a vintage style Transformers that looked really good.
Yeah.
And I got an Optimus Prime that's boxed away somewhere, but something like that. I would like to own that, but I don't have like a Starscream, an Optimus, a Megatron. Soundwave's my favorite, but yeah, unfortunately don't have any kind of Transformer representation other than volumes of the TV of the cartoon series. But
Hoodat Will says cool Freddy figure. Yeah, that was one that I asked for as a kid. I was 4 years old, asked for it for Christmas. Like begged my dad. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. God almighty.
And got it for Christmas. And then in my room, I know Tyler is familiar and we've talked about it before. Hopefully our listeners and are as well, but like the little net that you can hang in the corner and put all your stuffed toys on. I had, you know, like stuffed bears and shit like that. And there in the center, my dad set Freddy there, and then I couldn't go to sleep. And
it's a good thing you didn't watch Nightmare Part 3, because if you had Freddy hanging there, yeah, and then just drops down on the floor and then grows really big at your bedside.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. I don't know if I'd seen that in the store, because I will say this though. Anytime I went to Beyond Video, I would always gravitate to the horror section. My mom was checking out and look at the Freddy movies.
Yeah.
I was just drawn to,
Isn't it weird?
To look at the box art.
Like, yeah. We were afraid of it, but we were still just drawn to it.
Yeah. It was like clockwork. I go get my He-Man tape for the weekend and run over to the horror section and look at the Freddy films and the Jaws.
No, that's really scary. And then you'd run away.
Well, no, I'd sit quietly and I'd pick it up and look at it. And, like, I'd look at the pictures like, oh man, I wonder what Freddy's doing there. Was that Freddy too? And I would just try to come up with these ideas, and like, knowing full well, I would never in a million years watch it. But it was always drawn to that beautiful VHS box art. I mean, it was like clockwork. And no matter what video store I'd go to, I would wander down the horror section, because kids are, you're scared, but you're curious too. And, you know, I think that's just instinct. And it is fascinating to hear other kids are the same way too. Like, you couldn't help but look at horror movies in the video stores back then.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, uncharted territory. Like, oh man, look at all these creatures and monsters and guys with knives. And I remember seeing the cover for Halloween 2. I think it was creepy as hell. The pumpkin with the skull in it. You know, that left an impression on me. For Halloween 1 didn't, but Halloween 2 did, because it just looks so.
It's so weird that just like images on box art was scary enough for us.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
it was.
There's so many movies that I have yet to see, but I remember the box art. Oh, did you pinch a nerve?
No. It I cracked my shoulder, and it was loud enough when you were talking that it flipped over to me. Like, I'll have to go back and listen to see if it actually caught it well enough on there.
Man, I want to have a good shoulder pop.
But
love
it's just like,
pop.
And I'm like, ah!
It'd be fun to throw Nathan to, like, a hardcore chiropractor. Just have him like crack Nathan's body.
No,
and just screams and yells.
No, I went to the chiropractor for 2 visits. Never again. I did not enjoy that experience at all.
Oh man, I love popping my own back. I wish I could have somebody that could actually do it for me though, because they got to use a lot of pressure to get me to crack and stuff like that. So I love having my back realigned. I went one time to a chiropractor years ago for something that Icy Hot took care of. Just shows you what a quack the doctor was. But he couldn't crack anything. I'm like, man, this sucks. You know, as expected,
that's the thing. Like, you don't know what really you're gonna get, because the 2 visits I went to one and it was okay, and then I went to the other and it was a different lady and it was just awful.
Which, like, but, a big butch lady who's like a German kind of like a Matilda, like the
kind of yeah. But gee, I mean, I'm generally like a very just tense person anyway. Like, my muscles are just always tense for some reason. Like, even right now, I have to be like, all right, like, let go. And then, but I just always feel, so going there was just bad enough anyway, because you need to be kind of relaxed in order for it to work pretty well. And here I am just like a ball of tense muscles. So anytime they try to do anything, it just like did not feel nice at all. So I'll never do that again.
It does wonders for you to have your back popped. You just feel so refreshed and better. You ought to give it another try, man. Or hell, I'll crack your back.
Nope. Hard pass.
All right. Well, the offer's there if you need it. I'll give your back a good beating.
Yeah, like he just wants to kick my ass so he can come take all my toys.
Not necessarily, but that would make a great motive, though. So you just planted the thought in my head. But yeah, that's episode one. So, of Rambo. I'd like to think at some point, and you know what we talked about before, like how this podcast is just kind of all over the place. You know what? A lot of heroes and villains wear capes. They may not all be superheroes. So that way, the title should still stay, and we can kind of do whatever we want.
I mean, that's true. Or we just end up changing the name.
Nah, I like capes and commentaries. We've gone this far in. Our fan base is a small fan base. We don't want to confuse what we've got, you know, by changing the name and starting all over again. Here's episode one in a douchebag and douchebag and or whatever, you know, D&D. Or just some ridiculous, you know, name for cartoon commentaries or just something
like Tops and Shit Break.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I guess that would be our podcast.
TT and SB.
Yeah, Shit Break and Tank Top. We're here with capes and commentaries. A lot of alliteration. Yeah, that would be great merchandising. Yeah. If this podcast ever reached, like, you know, high hopes or something like that, which it's very hard to stand out. It's amazing, too, how many YouTube videos there are of people slamming 80s cartoons, and they get thousands and thousands of views. Here we are promoting it, and it's, you know, I'm thankful for the fan base we got, but it's astonishing how many people want to shit on 80s cartoons, and they get
we're just gonna have to start doing reactions to trailers to get all the views. That's what we're
yeah. I guess we could start dumping on everything too. Maybe people are like, "Oh, this is great." They're just like funny because their jokes are so white, and that's what makes it so great. You know, like all these other morons on YouTube. God, I hate it. But that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to show. You know what? Yeah, the cartoons are great. They're not what all these morons who think that they're going to get over as a celebrity on the internet. That's what they do. They make up these lame-ass jokes with no personality and try so hard to force jokes in where they're not really warranted or needed, you know, and think they're going to get over. And oddly enough, I guess some of them do get over because people are like, "Oh, man, I can't get enough of this jerk-off talking about, you know, the G.I. Joe movie. Oh, it's so lame. He's so funny."
Our time will come.
But we thank everybody that tunes in each week, no matter what cartoon we do, from Dino Riders to Batman to Spider-Man to Rambo. You stuck it out. You listened to us. And we thank everybody who takes the time to download us or watch us on YouTube. And hope you'll continue to keep supporting us. And Nathan, do you want to come back with Batman next week? Or, you know, you haven't suggested anything. I'm always suggesting this stuff. What do you suggest?
Well, I mean, like, this is I look at this show as like your vehicle. I'm along for the ride because most of these, like, even before we do them, you remember the episodes quite vividly. You have all this stuff. Me, my brain's just like I remember parts. I don't remember all of this. So I am taking your lead, sir. If you want to go back to Batman, let's go back to Batman. You've been talking about it. We haven't done Batman in a little bit.
Yeah, like actual Batman the Animated Series. I mean, we've done Batman Beyond a while back, but maybe we'll go back to one of the first seasons of Batman. Are we going to do Bane or Almost Got Him?
Almost Got Him.
Almost Got Him will be our commentary for next week. There you have it, folks. Breaking news. I'm sure social media will be lit on fire.
Does he have to take a shit again? We don't know.
We don't know. Find out. Leave a comment down here. Ho, 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 ho. You know. Followed by people. Oh, yeah. Remember, I had to take a shit, too. Just, you know, we need that cult leader status that Joe Amato has.
You know what? I'm prepared to give him hell tomorrow. I saw his Facebook post. Look at the feet on these figures and how this one's a little bit bigger than the other one. And it's already like it had, I don't know, 30 some reactions and like 17 comments. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know. Like, I mean, the guy is like, it's a week in Joe's town. I mean, I'm waiting to see like statues built up that look like, you know, the statue of Jesus, except it's like Joe with the hood on. And everything else is like one, like a solid white, but someone has painted the Amato mask on there. and his hands are like this, like that cliche Italian thing, holding off like this. And people are like, you know, praise Joe, and the Almighty Amato, and the First Church of Amato, and, you know, everyone has to give donations, you know. So it's like collecting the offering every Tuesday. It's not Sunday. They go to the Church of Amato on Tuesdays. Why? Because it's random like that, you know. And they, instead of like
communion, that's the day Tuesday is his day when he goes to Dollar Tree.
Yeah, so that's when they all sit down and give praise and give him the offerings. So that way he goes to the Dollar Tree. And
or they just bring him the El Monterey burritos.
Yeah, I'm sure when they have like potluck dinner, it's just nothing but El Monterey burritos and McDonald's and dollar burgers. Yeah.
Just hamburgers, not cheeseburgers, because that costs about 70 cents extra.
However, if you
want to. I love how he has it just down in his head, like by the cent. Like, this is the difference between a hamburger and a cheese. Like, me, anytime I go, I'm not even really looking at price.
No, and yeah. I guarantee, well, like, when he goes to Kroger, he's like one of those, like, angry, you know, mob ladies who will park her car in front of the door when you're trying to get out and wants to look at her damn receipt to make sure she wasn't short of 10 cents or all that markdown, you know, brand of yogurt. Now, wait a second here. I had a coupon for this here, and I was shorted a nickel, you know, some shit like that, you know. It's.
I could see him, too, like, walking down the aisle, grabbing, like, a can of diced tomatoes and putting a dent in it so he can just be like, well, that's...
I found this in the discount bin. because Joe is so upfront about this stuff, so it's not like we're making assumptions. No, we're going by what the Almighty Amato has decreed that...
Yeah, you know, when he tells us these stories, we just take them and run with them. We create our own...
That burrito craze of August 2018 that happened last week. I mean, we'll never forget it. I remember where I was at when I saw that bullshit go down.
Where was I? Like, I was right here.
Yeah, I was at home. Where was I? I was at home. Referencing the Al Pacino prank calls of don't know. Me and Nathan love to quote those things to death.
What time do you have?
Yeah.
Any time is 12:22. I think about it. Like, I love it when I'll randomly look at the clock and it's 12:22. What time do you have? It's 12:22. That's right.
That's right. As old as those celebrity prank calls are, God, they're still funny as hell, though.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're still laughing at, you know, well, I wouldn't even say like those goofy-ass YouTube people like Chris Crocker or something like that where they made fun of them on South Park. But, I mean, because those prank calls were still so hilarious. The Arnold ones, the Pacino ones, those are really the better ones. And the Joe Pesci ones, those are great. I never cared for any of the others. But yeah, that's our case and commentaries for this week. If you like what we have to say, our next show is Beyond Retro tomorrow or Sunday at 2:00. We'll be discussing Weird Science, reviewing the mega piece of shit Meg, and who knows, probably calling out Joe and his cult status.
Randomness is going to ensue and rants.
Yeah, but we'll talk about our dream Lisa. I'm sure that's something that we'll discuss on the show. If you love Weird Science, who didn't envision? Because I definitely wanted to do it. Hoped I could possibly do it as a kid. I'll elaborate more on that tomorrow on a Weird Science discussion.
Yeah, and then, I hope too that we kind of discuss a little bit the TV show as well. Because
yeah, I imagine we will, because that's how I discovered Weird Science. Because I watched the show first, then my dad like, hey, there's a movie. I'm like, what, really? So
same here, honestly.
Yeah, and I love the show. I haven't watched it in over 20 years, but, you know, I don't think it would hold up so much if I went back and looked at it again. I still love the 85 film. That's a God. It's a movie that never ages.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be our discussion for that. So if you like Capes and Commentaries, be sure to check out Beyond Retro and our all encompassing He-Man She-Ra podcast, Fans of Power, that goes live every Sunday night, 9:00. So, we will see you all next Saturday for Almost Got Them.
There we go. I love it because this time I didn't really even have to do the outro at all.
Yeah, there's no chance for botchamania.
Hey, I don't mess it up that much. I just, I'm done saying it and then everyone's just kind of quiet. I'm like, well,
yeah, we just need to keep it going. There's too much dead air, you know, because Joe will kind of sit there with his arms crossed with his head kind of cocked to the side there. I got to go eat. I got a burrito with my name on it.
I know Joe.
Joe is like Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser and Encino Man. How many minutes for the burrito? 2 minutes. Make up your melon. You know, and then eats it, cracks, breaks it open. It's like, oh, I suck on the middle. You know, yeah, I'm sure Joe's gone through that many a times. And I know Joe. I'm pretty sure Joe likes Encino Man too, so I'm sure he could relate to that sequence.
Yeah. I want to say a special thanks to Hoot at Will for joining us live.
Yes, on thank the you show very today. Much. We appreciate that. So, yeah. Join us next week if you enjoyed Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. And
if you don't, I don't want to know you.
And we will see you guys tomorrow on Beyond Retro.